The Flint water crisis has reminded millions more people around the world of the danger of lead exposure. A coalition of groups working to make more Michigan homes lead safe is criticizing state lawmakers for not budgeting more money toward the effort. Our next guests say that the bill, the budget bill, awaiting Governor Rick Snyder's signature, includes about a quarter of what it should have in the budget for that purpose. They are both members of MyAlch, the Michigan Alliance for Lead Safe Homes. Tina Reynolds, Health Policy Director for the Michigan Environmental Council, joins me in Studio S. Welcome, Tina.
Thank you. Good morning.
And on the phone, Paul Hahn is Executive Director of the Healthy Homes Coalition of West Michigan. He joins us from Grand Rapids. Hi, Paul.
Thanks for having me. Hello.
Tina, we'll make clear there is $1.75 million available for lead abatement programs run by the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services. That's the figure that's in the budget that Governor Snyder's expected to sign. That's the same sum that was in the current budget, but both of you feel that the legislature missed an opportunity here. Tell us more about this missed opportunity.
Absolutely. The $1.75 million is general fund dollars. So those are our general fund purpose tax dollars. So the legislature can spend that how they see fit. The $1.75 million is continuation funding. And so we're very happy to be able to have that money. It will make around 100 homes lead safe for families in Michigan. But we have over 5,000 kids that are poisoned. So it's really a drop in the bucket to helping families make their homes lead safe. We feel that it's a missed opportunity because with Michigan in the news, I would say virtually every day, multiple times a day about lead and get your child tested for lead and it's time to make your homes lead safe, check your water source. I mean, we have the awareness of the public right now and they're doing just that. They're calling the state for help. We want to make sure that the resources are there.
Paul, your coalition, MyAlch, says that the earmark should be around four times that big, maybe $6.75 million or so. Talk to us about what do you think makes the need so much higher?
Well, we just have a significant number of older houses in Michigan, and we're investing quite a bit in testing children. We're investing quite a bit in helping children who have been lead poisoned. But if we truly want to get out in front of this problem, we have to go after these environmental sources. Across the state of Michigan, we estimate there's almost 1.5 million housing units that have lead hazards in them. We've got to start chipping away at those. Doing it 100 units at a time is a very slow road to get there, and we need to accelerate our efforts if we want to solve this problem within the next generation.
Tina, you pointed out that 1.75 is enough to remediate about 100 Michigan homes.
Yes.
Now, but explain for us here, that assumes a home that is desperately in need of remediation, or is that the average Michigan home?
I would say it's the average Michigan home.
Really?
So lead paint was a durable paint. It was one that lasted through a lot of wear and tear. And so when you where you would find lead paint in a house would be porches, it would be windowsills, it would be doors, really expensive items to replace and repair. And so if you have to replace windows in an entire home, anyone that's done that, even replacement windows, is pretty expensive and it adds up quickly. Some homes, older historic homes, are very large as well. So if you drive through some Detroit neighborhoods, some Grand Rapids neighborhoods, I mean, they had very large homes.
Paul, you check homes for lead. This would suggest that you go through a lot of older homes and see a lot of old lead paint and the like. Is that the case?
That's certainly the case. Tina hit the nail on the head. Particularly here in Grand Rapids, we see an awful lot of older homes with older windows, and that's almost a universal hazard in these pre-1950 homes, pre-1978 homes. They have lead-based paint on those windows, and that becomes a route of exposure to these kids. And as Tina mentioned, you know, at a $500 or so an opening to replace a window, this is a costly proposition, but the payoff is invaluable.
Our guests are Paul Hahn and Tina Reynolds. Both feel Michigan needs to spend more on making homes lead safe. Paul is Executive Director of the Healthy Homes Coalition of West Michigan. Tina is Health Policy Director for the Michigan Environmental Council. You do the math. You're saying it takes $175,000 on average to make a lead-poisoned Michigan home lead safe. That's more money than many, many homes in Michigan are worth.
An average apartment spends around $10,000 a home. And homeowners do chip in what they're able to, either in sweat equity or church donations. And so, you know, there's a little bit given back for each home that's made lead safe. It's definitely something that we have to do and make a priority. And not every family will need to take advantage of the state dollars. There are families that have resources that are able to make these repairs themselves. And so this is an income eligibility. And so these folks just don't have the dollars to make their homes lead safe. And in most cases, there's a child that's poisoned. Their child is poisoned in their home. So the state is great stewards of these dollars. We stretch every dollar. You know, we've partnered with Wallside Windows in the past to donate windows. You know, so we make the best of the resources that we have. I have full confidence that if the state had those dollars, that we would get a lot of homes done.
You both, I take it, attended and testified at budget hearings. Was this $6.75 million figure, did you explicitly advocate for that figure, Tina?
We absolutely did. Paul and I both testified before the House and the Senate, the subcommittees on budget. We gave them the $6.75 million figure and the basis of that figure. In 2014, we had about 679 Michigan children poisoned above level 10. And level 5 to 9 is a threshold level to determine that a child's been exposed and lead poisoned. So if you're a child that's level 10 or above, you're highly poisoned. These are the worst kids in the state. And so if we have 679 kids level 10 and above, we thought as a good starting point, let's at least meet the needs of the kids that need it the most. And so that would be the $6.75 million.
Paul, how interested, how receptive were legislators when you made these appearances at the Capitol?
I think there was a lot of attention to the issue and a lot of really good questions. And I think an eagerness to learn and try to figure out what to do. I think the challenge is in the end, we were stacked up against a number of other pressing budget needs. And at this point in time, we're discouraged that lead did not move any further.
Generally, Tina, would you say Michigan residents, Michigan homeowners broadly, do they feel a sense of urgency about lead in homes or... has Flint done anything to that awareness? Or would you say it's kind of an out of sight, out of mind kind of thing? It's a house they may well have lived in for many, many years. They just, after a while, you just tend not to think about it. Where is awareness right now, I guess?
I would say awareness is off the charts, and that's one of the reasons we feel that it's a missed opportunity. I mean, in the past, we've had to educate homeowners. Lead poisoning is the silent epidemic. Unless your child is tested, most likely you don't even know they've been exposed. And so it's been challenging to educate homeowners. Close to 70% of Michigan housing stock could have lead paint. And so this is a widespread issue. But with Flint being in the news, we're hearing about water sources. We're hearing about lead outside. We're hearing about lead in soil, lead in paint. There's a phenomenal interest. Families are very concerned. They're asking pediatricians to have their children tested. They're much more proactive. And I think we need to build on that.
Paul, you're inside homeowners' homes. Do you agree with Tina? Did the Flint situation, did the Flint crisis really change the landscape?
Certainly, people are significantly more aware. And, you know, in many communities, the word's gotten out that while in Flint it was the water across the state, it is the paint and it's the soil. It's various sources that are getting at kids, and that you know, the situation in Flint, while it's unique in the fact that the delivery system was the water, it's not unique in the fact that there are 5, even 10% in some communities of kids being exposed to paint still, and that's, you know, that's 1 out of 20, 1 out of 10 kids, and people widely agree, particularly parents, that's a hazard we don't want to put our kids in the way of.
May's state revenue projection dropped here. It wasn't even that long ago, and now they've put together a budget here, including that lower projection. Was that a factor here, Tina?
That's our understanding. We're in the process of scheduling debrief meetings with our policymakers to find out if there's something we could do different, if there's a supplemental, an opportunity in the future to continue to build abatement funds. But yeah, there was close to $400 million that they needed to take out of the budget, and some tough decisions had to be made. I mean, we would definitely argue that keeping lead abatement dollars, continuation funding was not the right decision.
You've got a lot of experience at the Capitol, Tina. I know that. Do you think that number will get bumped higher in the near future? Well, here, let me ask another question first. Had the revenue projection stayed the same, would you have expected a bump in funding?
Absolutely. And Paul alluded to the good conversations that we had with policymakers around lead funding. Every March, we have a lead education day. This year, we met with 50 lawmakers, both in the House and the Senate, Republicans and Democrats. We got a very warm reception. Everyone seemed very committed, very interested in lead funding, wanted to stop our kids from being lead poisoned. So we have a lot of knowledge and education awareness around this issue. I do think it was a dollars and cents determination in the end, and we need to keep working forward.
Paul, you're the guy on the ground in this effort in West Michigan. Talk to us about how the money assigned to the lead remediation program at the Health and Human Services, how do those dollars actually get spent? What do you see those dollars going toward?
Well, the department prioritizes the houses where there are children living that have been exposed. So first of all, finding those lead poisoned kids. Unfortunately, the kids are being used as the lead detector here. But going in and making those homes safe, and where there's not a lead poisoned child, if there's not a waiting list there, they will also go into certain high risk communities where there's just this uber high prevalence of kids being exposed. As Tina mentioned, there is some copay. This program is for low and moderate income households. It's not for the wealthy. So we're really making sure to get this money to those who most need it. And if you think about it, once we fix that home, make it lead safe, that fix is good for decades to come. And so it will protect that child, hopefully help that child heal, but will also protect future kids in that home.
In West Michigan, Paul, where are you most likely to find dangerous levels of lead?
Older housing anywhere, but we see across the population, the high prevalence in some of the older central city neighborhoods here in Grand Rapids, Muskegon Heights, Benton Harbor. So it's older neighborhoods where the housing might be distressed from past disinvestment.
But I've heard, for example, lead-based paint obviously is a concern, but I've also heard that we did a segment on this involving Flint not too long ago, mm-hmm. where you're apt to find lead in dust in the soil, places like that. That's kind of how I meant the question. Where geographically are you apt to find lead?
Well, the geography is linked.
You gave me the geography. I beg your pardon. Yep. But is it soil? Is it in the house itself? Where?
It's our contention that most of it's coming from the degrading lead-based paint. There is also soil contamination from years and years of leaded gasoline use. If you think about how that particulate, the lead particulate from the gasoline, would wash out in our urban environments, it would fall with rain, and particularly on rooftops. And that ends up, in the drip line around the home. So between the paint sloughing off the house and the leaded gas washing out of the air with the rain onto rooftops, that soil around houses is oftentimes very toxic as well. So we're really watching that lead-based paint and then that soil right around the house.
As it turns out, on Friday, Governor Snyder announced appointments to the new Child Lead Poisoning Elimination Board, which was created by an executive order to develop a statewide strategy to help prevent childhood lead exposure. How important is this development, is this formation, Tina?
I'd say it's really, really important. We were very happy to see the new board's charge. It's very forward thinking. They're looking at prevention, they're looking at testing kids, they're looking at making homes lead safe, services to kids who have been poisoned. But ideally, we want to make sure our children aren't poisoned in the first place. And so their charge is very broad, very far reaching. I've looked at the appointments to the board, including Paul, who's on the phone with us. There's just top-notch folks. people that have been working in this field for years, have great perspective. I'm very hopeful for this commission.
It's a 12-member board, I'll point out, which includes Lieutenant Governor Brian Calley as chair, 7 gubernatorial appointees, and 4 State Department directors or their designees, including DEQ, DHHS, the Department of Licensing and Regulatory Affairs, LARA, and the Michigan State Housing Development Authority, MISHDA. This has been very informative. We want to thank our guests, Tina Reynolds and Paul Hahn. Tina is Health Policy Director for the Michigan Environmental Council. Paul Hahn is Executive Director of the Healthy Homes Coalition of West Michigan, on the line from Grand Rapids. Thanks and good luck to both of you.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much.